You do? Why? Me.
Well,
either way it went, I was saying something, you know? Staying would have been a statement of solidarity with these guys I grew up with and who look like me. Leaving was a different statement. And the fact that I chose to do it with a white guy who was dressed as a Klansman? Well, SJ. I see what you mean. Me. Yeah. These were the dudes who used to call me white boy because while they were shooting dice for pennies at recess, I was reading a book. I know there's no excuse for the idea that we're all the same kind, as that cop Castillo put it, but the moment I saw that gun sticking out of dude's waistband, I felt this flare of pain around my wrists. I had this thought, be forewarned, it's an ugly one. It's assholes like Trey and his boys that have cops thinking all black dudes are up to no good. SJ. I'm so sorry, Jess. Me. Don't apologize, S. It's not your fault. It never made sense to me why trying to do something with myself made me some kind of race traitor to these guys. But some of the stuff Trey said tonight really got to me. SJ. Really? Me. Yeah. He said me and Manny were chilling with Jared and them because we need the white man for the ride to the top. And while I could debate that till I'm blue in the face, didn't we prove it by leaving with Jared and them? SJ. I guess that's one way to look at it. Me. What if Trey is right? What if, no matter what I do, the only thing white people will ever see me as is an N-word? So glad I caught myself, Martin. Me, continued. Yeah, Jared's always talking about how equal things are, but that doesn't mean he sees me as one. SJ. Silence. Me. It's a conundrum. White people hold most positions of authority in this country. How do I deal with the fact that I do need them to get ahead without feeling like I'm turning my back on my own people? SJ. Sure hope that's rhetorical, Jess. I certainly can't give you an answer. Me. Laughs. We shifted gears a little bit after that, and when I checked the clock, it had been 3 hours. When we landed on the topic of Jewish involvement in the civil rights movement, I wound up telling her about this Be Like Martin experiment. She said she was both impressed and intrigued. That's when it hit me who I was talking to when I said I needed to go to bed. Before we hung up, though, she said something I don't think I'll ever forget. SJ. Hey, Jess. Yeah? SJ. I want to apologize. Me. For what? SJ. For stepping out of line in class a while back. Me. SJ. I know it's been over a month, but after talking to you tonight, well, it wasn't my place to speak for you. I'm really, really sorry. Hearing her apologize after Blake didn't? It got me, Martin. Now, I can't get her out of my head. Which really isn't good. Don't get me wrong, SJ's great. We've been debate partners since I joined the team 2 years ago. Only person at that school who knows more about me than she does is Manny. Yes, she's gorgeous for a white girl. She's tall with long brown hair, and while not a big booty Betty, the lacrosse body is tight. Yes, she's smart and funny and easy to talk to and kind of feisty, which now that I'm seeing her in this new light is kind of a turn-on. But Martin, I can't fall for SJ. My whole life, Mama's told me, don't you bring home a white girl. We're talking about a woman who low-key disses Mello for looking white. Can you imagine what kind of reaction I'd get if it were SJ? Mello and I broke up again, by the way. Right now, I feel guilty for even talking to SJ, especially about race stuff. What does it say about me that I willingly left a party with a bunch of idiots, but the white person who does treat me as an equal is the one I most want to run away from right now? I can't believe I told SJ all that stuff. I mean, she's cool and everything, but I'm shaking my head right now. You were the man, Martin. The man. And I want to be like you. Intergroup and interpersonal living? I really do want that. I'm just not so sure I can pull it off anymore. I'm going to bed. J.M. Chapter 6. Justice can't believe it. Congratulations is all big and bright right there in front of him, but he still can't believe it. When he sat down at his laptop, he expected to have to click a bunch of different links to get to his admissions decision. But the second he logged into the website, a giant bulldog filled the screen as the Yale fight song played all loud and bold and beautiful. His phone is in his hand now, and he's tapping. She picks up on the first ring. Hello? S? Just, is everything okay? S, I got in. What? I got in, SJ. What are you talking? Wait, you got in? Yes! Like, got in? Like, you're in? Yes! Oh my god! Justice reads the computer screen again, and it really hits him. S! Your boy is a Yalie! Holy shit, Just. Holy shit. I can't even believe it. Just drops his head back and closes his eyes. All the bad stuff that's happened in the past few months falls away. After a pause, he hears, Mom! Dad! Just is going to Yale! And then, Wow! Congratulations, Justice! From SJ's mom, and, Attaboy, Justmeister! From SJ's dad, who's been calling him that since the first time he showed up at SJ's house to work on debate stuff.
Heck! Just! This is the best Hanukkah present ever. You realize this means we'll only be an hour and a half away from each other, right?
That's when it smacks him again. The feeling. The one that makes his heart beat faster and his head go fuzzy when he's talking to her sometimes. It's different from how he felt about Mello. And that's what scares Just. It occurs to him that he dialed SJ before he called his mama, which says way more than he wants to hear right now. S, I gotta go, he says.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Justice smiles, very much in spite of himself. Me too. Yeah, this has to stop.
Thanks for calling to share the news, she says. Means a lot to me that you did.
Means a lot to me that you're so amped. Damn, probably shouldn't have said that.
Are you kidding? How could I not be?
Justice clears his throat. I hope you have a nice night, SJ.
You too, Jess. Sweet dreams.
But Justice doesn't dream at all. He can't sleep. Too much on his mind. Yale, for one. Hello, dream come true. And then, SJ.
How could I not be?
She said. What is he supposed to do with that? He called Mama as soon as he and SJ hung up, but it went to voicemail. And since he couldn't bring himself to leave such big news in a message, he went to bed with the weight of SJ knowing before Mama on his chest. The next morning, he's standing near the omelet station in the dining hall when he hears his name shouted from across the room. It's her. And she's bounding in his direction. S! Justice shouts, throwing his arms wide without thinking. She leaps into them and wraps her legs around his waist. It's a lot. She's also in uniform, which means, S, you know you're in a skirt, right?
Crap!
She scrambles down. Oh my god, I'm so embarrassed. Her face is all red, so she covers it with her hands. It might be the cutest thing Just has ever seen. He pulls her hands down, smiles. That was probably the best hug I've ever gotten in my life. She shakes her head.
I can't believe I attacked you. I just got so excited.
Just laughs. Me too, S. Hope you'll come see your boy every now and then. I'll definitely come see you. You would think Just had just proposed the way SJ's face lights up. He should not be saying this kind of stuff, and he definitely shouldn't be meaning it. She smiles. He smiles back. She stares. He stares back. He realizes he's still holding her hands and looks at her lips. Hey, Jess?
Jess's head snaps to the right.
Mellow.
He snatches his hands away from SJ's. When he turns back to SJ, her smile is melting off her face.
He watches Mellow's green eyes shift back and forth between him and SJ.
SJ's smile has melted so thoroughly, it's officially a scowl.
Mellow clears her throat. Oh, sup, Mellow?
Just says.
I was hoping you could tell me, Justice.
Except her eyes are on SJ. No one speaks.
Then.
Okay, guess I'll see you in class? SJ says.
Tongue-tied, Justice watches her pivot and walk away without looking back. When he faces Mellow again, she's smirking in SJ's direction.
Justice coughs to get Mellow's attention.
She turns to him and crosses her arms.
So, I hear you got into Yale,
she says.
Yeah, I did.
That what SJ was so excited about?
Yeah.
Justice gulps.
She's going to Columbia. It's pretty close by.
Mellow shifts her focus to the doorway SJ disappeared through.
So, you two are a thing now?
What? No.
I saw her jump on you, Justice.
It's not like that, Mel. Except it is, obviously.
We're just good friends, he says to the air.
Debate partners, you know what I mean.
Good.
She takes a step closer.
He can tell she's not convinced, but
that's the thing about Mello. If she wants something, she'll do whatever it takes to get it.
I was hoping we could hang out soon.
She runs a finger down the center of Justice's chest and hooks it into the waistband of his pants.
Yeah?
His voice cracks and everything.
That'd be cool.
Awesome. I'm actually pretty sad you're going to be leaving me. You sure you want to go so far away?
Just shifts his attention over her shoulder and scratches his head.
I'll call you later, okay?
I... Just says. She squeezes his biceps and kisses him in the little nook where his jawbone meets his neck.
Bye, Just.
Just doesn't say a word. Just stares at Mellow's butt as she saunters off.
Chapter 7. Justice is still in a daze when he gets to Societal Evolution 2 periods later. He knows he messed up, just can't figure out exactly what went wrong with which girl. When he steps into the classroom, Manny comes forward and drapes an arm around his shoulders.
Dr. Dre, allow me to introduce you to Justice McAllister, soon to be Yale undergrad and my very best friend.
My man,
Doc says, lifting his hand for a high five.
That's what I'm talking about.
It makes Justice smile. Unfortunately, the minute he takes his seat, SJ comes in and won't even look at him. And hot on her heels is Jared Christensen, who glares so intensely it's a wonder Justice's head doesn't burst into flames. The bell rings, and Doc closes the door and turns around to face the class. But before he can say, "Good morning," Jared's hand is in the air. Doc.
Yes, Mr. Christensen?
Jared.
I have something I'd like to discuss today, sir.
Doc.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Jared.
I'd like to discuss how affirmative action discriminates against members of the majority.
Justice. Eyebrows rise. SJ.
You're not even serious.
Jared.
Oh, I certainly am. Let's observe, shall we? I'm ranked number 2 in our class. I'm captain of the baseball team. I do community service on weekends. I got higher test scores than Justice, yet he got into Yale early action and I didn't. I know for a fact it's because I'm white and he's black.
Doc.
That's quite an assumption, Mr. Christensen. Justice. Hold up. What makes you so sure you got higher scores than me?
Jared.
Dude, I got a 1580 on the SAT.
Manny.
What'd you get, Jus?
Justice.
1560.
Jared.
See?
SJ. What about the ACT?
Jared.
33.
Jus?
34.
Jared.
Bullshit!
Doc.
Watch it, Jared.
Jared.
Dude, there's no way he got a 34.
Justice.
What reason do I have to lie, man?
Jared.
It just doesn't make sense.
Justice.
Why doesn't it?
SJ.
Because it negates his assumption that because he's white and you're black, he's more intelligent than you are.
Jared.
Why don't you stay out of it, SJ?
Justice.
Hold up, man.
Doc.
This is an open forum, Mr. Christensen. Anyone in this room can contribute to the discussion.
Jared.
Whatever.
Manny.
So let me get this straight, Jay. It bugs you that Justice is just as smart as you?
Jared.
That's not my point.
SJ.
You said affirmative action discriminates against members of the majority, and you cited Justice's acceptance to Yale and your lack thereof as supporting evidence for that assertion. Ignoring how effing racist it is to assume your test scores would be higher than Justice's, the counter-evidence, namely that you and Justice are more or less equally qualified, has nullified your assertion.
Jared.
It doesn't nullify anything.
Justice shakes his head.
Jared. If we're equals, we both should have gotten in.
Manny.
You got rejected?
Jared.
Deferred.
SJ.
So you'll probably still get in. Jared, that's not the point.
Doc.
Let's keep it professional, Mr. Christensen.
Manny.
For real, Jay. Chill.
Jared.
No, dude, I'm not gonna chill. You of all people should know what kind of shit I caught from my dad for getting deferred.
Manny.
That doesn't have anything to do with Just, though, man.
Jared. Yeah, it does. He took a spot I didn't get because Yale has to fill a quota.
Justice. Excuse me?
Jared. Just stating the facts, man.
SJ.
Those aren't facts, dipshit.
Doc.
Sarah Jane.
SJ.
Justice got in because he deserved to.
Justice.
Thank you.
Jared.
I deserve to get in, too. Affirmative action is bullshit.
Doc.
If y'all can't reel this in, I'm shutting it down. Final warning.
Jared.
Point is, it gives an unfair advantage to minorities. So, okay, Justice and I might be equals or whatever, but there are other minorities without the qualifications I have who will get in before I do. That's just not fair.
SJ.
Jared, let me ask you something.
Jared.
Like I have another option.
SJ.
So, as a non-boarder, your tuition here is the same as mine. We'll make it a nice round number and say $36,000 per year. Our parents pay on a semester basis, which means that in 7 semesters, yours have invested... Who has a calculator?
Justice.
$126,000.
Manny.
Damn.
Doc.
Cuts Manny a warning look.
Manny.
My bad, Doc.
SJ.
For that insane sum of money, we're getting the best of the best of the best. Tuition includes laptops, tablets, and access to more scholarly databases than most colleges have. We've got the most current editions of all college-level textbooks. Our library is like... I can't even tell you. We have... test prep courses built into our curriculum from the moment we start 9th grade. And I'm pretty sure something like 97% of the teachers at this school are PhDs. Right, Doc?
Doc.
Something like that.
SJ.
You wouldn't expect anything less based on the amount of money you're paying, right?
Jared.
Do you have a point here?
SJ.
I do. Now say you have a black guy. Not Justice, but someone else. Whose single parent's income falls beneath the poverty line. He lives in a really crummy area and goes to a public school that has 15-year-old textbooks and no computers. Most of the teachers are fresh out of college and leave after a year.
Some psychological testing has been done at this school, and the majority of students there, this guy included, are found to suffer from low self-esteem and struggle with standardized testing because of stereotype threat. Basically, the guy knows people expect him to underperform, which triggers severe test anxiety that causes him to underperform.
Doc grins.
SJ, now erase the two backgrounds. We'll keep it simple and say, GPA-wise, you have a 4.0 and he has a 3.6. Test scores, you got a 1580, right? Well, this guy got an 1120. Based on GPA and scores only, which one of you is more likely to get into a good college?
Jared.
Me. Obviously.
SJ.
Is that fair? You've had access to way more than he has. Would it be fair for a college to consider only GPA and test scores in determining who deserves to get in?
Jared.
It's not my fault my parents can afford to send me to a good school.
Justice.
Is it his fault his mom can't, man?
Everyone.
SJ. I'm not saying the system is perfect. Yes, people who legitimately aren't as qualified get picked over people who are. And yes, it's usually people of color getting picked over white people. But before you say something isn't fair, you should consider your starting point versus someone else's.
Jared.
Whatever. All I know is that no matter what college I end up at, when I see a minority, I'm going to wonder if they're qualified to be there.
Everyone.
Justice.
Damn. It's like that, Jared?
Jared.
I mean, wait, that didn't come out right.
SJ.
And there you have it, folks.
Everyone.
December 13. Dear Martin. Can you explain why everywhere I turn, I run into people who want to keep me down? Tonight, I went home because I decided to share the Yale news with Mama in person, and while she was ecstatic, what I faced when I left the house brought me back as low as the affirmative action is bullshit discussion from class today. Basically, when I rounded the corner to head to my bus stop, Trey and a bunch of the black jihad dudes, the white guy included, were standing there shooting the shit, as my granddaddy used to say. When Trey asked me what the fuck I was so happy about, I actually told him about Yale.
Yeah, I was tripping, Martin.
Trey's response?
You'll be back, smart guy. Once you see them white folks don't want your black ass at their table, they not down with you being their equal, dog. We'll see you soon.
He grinned. I think if the social evil discussion had taken place on a different day, I could have ignored Trey. I mean, what the heck does he know? I'm not even sure he's still in school. And the only white person he interacts with was standing there with his blonde hair and cornrows and a gold grill that spelled out Brad across his teeth.
Jared and Trey taken together, though? The whole return trip to campus, their words played catch with my confidence.
Jared's test score thing really bugged me. All this talk about how equal things are, yet he assumed I didn't do as well as he did? And nobody can tell me he didn't make that assumption because he's white and I'm black, Martin. And then Trey. Why does this guy insist on trying to keep me down? On the real, he's just as bad as Jared. It's like I'm trying to climb a mountain, but I've got one fool trying to shove me down so I won't be on his level, and another fool tugging at my leg, trying to pull me to the ground he refuses to leave. Jared and Trey are only two people, but after today, I know that when I head to Yale next fall, because I am going there, I'm going to be paranoid about people looking at me and wondering if I'm qualified to be there. How do I work against this, Martin?
Getting real with you.
I feel a little defeated. Knowing there are people who don't want me to succeed is depressing, especially coming from two directions. I'm working hard to choose the moral high road like you would, but it'll take more than that, won't it? Where'd you get the courage to keep climbing in the face of stuff like this? Because I know you got it from both sides.
I'm going to try and sleep now. Get my head reset on my shoulders. Feel free to pop up in my dreams or something.
Tell me what to do.
Like Babe Ruth did to Benny in The Sandlot. I love that movie, Martin.
Justice.
P.S.
Totally unrelated, but
You know anything about love triangles? I feel like a jerk because there SJ was, cheering me forward, while Mello, as usual, only thinking of herself, wanted to hold me back. And what did I do? Capitulated to the booty. And okay, the fear of what my mama will say if I fail to keep SJ at the furthest end of the friend zone? I've got absolutely nothing on this one. How did I even end up in this position? I'm a decent-looking dude, but two gorgeous girls wanting the J-Mac? I can't even handle it, Martin. Chapter 8. Before Justice's butt has a chance to sink into the leather of the Rivers' basement couch, Manny's already talking crazy. So how long you plan to hold out on your boy? He doesn't turn away from the movie he's watching on mute while an old Deuce Diggs track thumps through the speakers. I won't even pretend to know what you're talking about, Just replies. Yo, what album is this? I don't think I've heard this cut before. Mixtape from a few years ago. Don't change the subject. Just looks at Manny. What subject? Dog, who just dropped you off? Manny says. SJ, which you know from the I'll have SJ drop me off text message you responded to 15 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Exactly what? You and SJ. What about me and SJ? Manny stares at Just like he just said 2 plus 2 is 5. What, Manny? Manny shakes his head. I thought we were boys, Just. Whatever. Turn the TV up. Justice tucks his hands behind his head. Just tell me how long.
How long what, fool?
How long you been hooking up with SJ, man? Why you over here playing dumb? Just rolls his eyes.
I'm not hooking up with SJ, Manny.
Everybody knows, man.
Everybody knows what?
That you're over at her house every damn day. You know Jessa Northrup is her neighbor. She told us, says SJ's parents are obsessed with you, call you Justmeister and shit.
Just drags his hands down his face. He knew Jessa was nosy, but damn.
First of all, you sound like a damn girl right now with all this gossip and shit. Second, I'm not over there every day. Third, when I am there, it's for debate stuff. And fourth, Mr. and Mrs. F liking me is irrelevant.
Manny rolls his eyes.
So all you go over there for is debate?
Yes, Manny. The state tournament is in 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
And that's all y'all ever talk about?
Justice's brow furrows.
I mean, we occasionally talk about other stuff, but
see, it's something going on between y'all, man. I can see that shit all over you.
Justice shakes his head and settles down into the couch. I'm not talking about this anymore. You gonna turn the movie up or what?
Just, I'm your best friend.
Dog. Justice sits up, turns to look Manny in the eye. I'm only gonna say this once, so listen closely, all right?
There is nothing going on between me and SJ.
Manny stares right back.
Just, I know you like her, man. And she obviously likes you.
Doesn't matter. Just sinks back into the leather.
It does, though.
No, it doesn't.
You tripping, man. SJ's a gorgeous girl, and she's perfect for you.
Drop it.
Come on, Just. I said it doesn't matter, Manny.
Why not? Justice takes a deep breath.
Manny, my mama would blow every gasket in a 50-mile radius.
Huh?
SJ is white.
Manny draws back, puts his hand over his heart, and mock gasps.
What? You're kidding me.
Shut up, fool. Whatever. Manny waves him off. She's not white-white. She's Jewish. It's different.
Just sighs.
They were slaves too, dog. And then the Holocaust?
Even now, I know what you mean. Won't matter to my mama, though. SJ's skin is white.
Manny doesn't respond.
My mama is not down with that.
Still no response. Justice exhales.
No offense, Just, but that might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard,
Manny finally says.
Just shrugs. Is what it is.
And since pissing my mama off ain't real high on my to-do list, SJ and I are strictly friends. Besides, me and Mel are talking again. Manny smacks his forehead. I was wrong before, he says. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Shut up, man. Just, if Mello and SJ are diverging paths on the road of life, you're headed for a dead end, my friend. Where do you get this shit, Manny? I'm just saying, mama aside, you're making the wrong decision. Just snorts. No offense, but I refuse to take relationship advice from a dude who's never been in one. Whoa, now, just because I don't want a serious girlfriend at the moment doesn't mean I don't know what it takes to maintain a relationship. Ah, here we go. I'm serious, Jess. You think I've learned nothing from watching my parents over the last 17 and a half years? Whatever, man. Can we please drop this? They fall into a weighty silence, both staring at the massive television screen, but neither actually watching the movie. Out of nowhere, Manny says, you know I've got the opposite problem, right? What? I'm gonna tell you something, but don't laugh at me, all right? I'm trusting you with a deep, dark secret. Just lifts an eyebrow. Manny inhales, filling his cheeks with air before blowing it out. I'm scared of black girls, man. Huh? Black girls. I've never really encountered a non-family one. Okay. There are none in our grade. The only ones I know are my cousins, and they're... a lot. A lot? Like, real attitude-y and kinda... Manny swallows. Ghetto. Justice doesn't know what to say. It's not like he has any experience in this area either. Mello's half black, but she's definitely not the type of girl Manny's talking about. Manny goes on. I know that's a stereotype or whatever, but I've literally never experienced anything else. My folks are all excited about me going to Morehouse next year, but I'm nervous as hell. How come? You're my only black friend, dog. I'm supposed to go from this all-white world to an all-black one overnight? Just doesn't respond. Anyway, my bad for just laying all that on you. Just shrugs. It's cool. I should have applied to Princeton or something. Would have been more familiar. Manny sighs. Just shakes Manny's shoulder. You'll be fine, man. I'm sure there'll be plenty of dudes you'll vibe with at Morehouse, just like you vibe with me. It's Spelman I'm really worried about. You know it's right next door. Black girls everywhere. Just laughs. And you know I love women, man. What if I get there and none of them are feeling me? I wish I knew what to tell you, Manny. All I can say is they're not all alike, just like we aren't. Manny nods. Touché, my dog. They lapse into silence again. Then, just, I'm gonna say this last thing, then I'll get out of your business. Oh boy, here we go. I get wanting to please your mom. The only reason I'm even going to Morehouse is because it's been my Spellhouse alumni parents' dream for me since they found out I was a boy. But passing up on a good thing because your mom wouldn't approve? I don't know about that, man. Especially when it comes to something as stupid as race. Justice snorts. You're still doing that MLK thing, right? What would he do? I wouldn't know, considering Ms. Coretta was black. Shut up. You know what I mean. If you're doing this Be Like Martin thing, do it for real. Refusing to date a girl because she's white is probably not the kingly way, bruh. Justice glares at Manny. I knew I shouldn't have told your punk ass anything. Manny smirks and grabs the TV remote from the ottoman. Then he slouches down into the couch and unmutes the movie. Chapter 9. Justice is so focused on the upcoming state debate tournament, he barely notices Christmas and New Year's as they blow by. Of course, the morning of the tournament itself, it's the last thing on his mind. For one thing, two nights ago, he broke up with Mello again. He's pretty sure for the last time. As they sat in her basement with her rambling about stuff that has no bearing on anything that matters, Manny's words rang through Jess's head like a five-bell alarm. If Mello and SJ are diverging paths on the road of life, you're headed for a dead end. Speaking of SJ, that's the other reason he can't focus. As she steps out of the hotel elevator, smiling at him like he made the sun rise, his brain goes to mush. Though they cleared things up the day after the Mello/SJ cafeteria showdown. Jess, I'm sorry for sidelining you, S. SJ, I forgive you, jackass. Don't let it happen again. Seeing SJ now, Justice can tell how big of an idiot he's been. Especially considering the fitted skirt suit and heels she's rocking. You ready? She says when she's standing right in front of him. He just stares. Her smile fades and she touches her cheek. What? Is there something on my face? No. Justice clears his throat. You look really nice is all. Oh. Thanks. Her cheeks turn pink. Justice thinks he might combust. She winks and tugs at his tie, which matches the deep maroon of her suit. Just like they planned. You're not too bad yourself. Just then, Doc comes around the corner from the breakfast buffet with the rest of the team in tow. Good morning, my little lion cubs. He steps between Justice and SJ and drapes an arm around each of their shoulders. Ready to rumble? You bet your ass we are. Watch it, Ms. Friedman, Just says in Doc's voice. Doc and SJ laugh. Seriously, though, Doc says. I know your round isn't until after lunch, but you feel like you're ready? What Doc isn't saying, he still hasn't gotten his mind around the fact that his top two debaters elected to forego the actual debate rounds of the tournament and focus solely on advanced pairs argumentation. In other words, they've got one shot. We're as ready as we'll ever be, SJ says. She reaches past Doc to squeeze Jess's hand. Jess looks at her, and she smiles. He has no clue how he's going to get through this day. Truth be told, Jess and SJ hadn't settled on a topic until a couple of weeks ago. They were in her basement. She was sitting cross-legged with her laptop open in this massive wicker chair Mr. F imported from Israel, and Jess was pacing around the pool table, using the cue like a hobbit staff, try not to ogle her legs. He sighed as he passed her again. Maybe we should just do the stereotype threat thing. We've got a solid argument there. Yeah, minus the fact that the guy presenting it wasn't affected at all. She smirked. Well, we gotta pick something, S, he said. Like, now. We're running out of time. I know. Give me a sec, okay? I'm working on something. She went back to typing, and Jess's mind went in a different direction. Over the past couple of days, it really sunk in that this would be his and SJ's final tournament together. When it was over, his excuse for hanging out with her would be kaput. And then what would he do? He glanced over at her again. She was rocking her glasses with her hair in a messy knot. His favorite way for her to be. Yeah, just last night, he'd been in Mello's, and definitely not for anything academic, but being around SJ was just different. He didn't want to let it go, but had no clue how to keep it going. Oh, my God. What? I think I've got it. Come here. She uncrossed her legs and made room for him in the chair. As he squeezed in beside her and felt her whole left side pressed against his right, he had to take a clandestine deep breath. She smelled like fruit and flowers, and force himself to focus. So check this out, she said, rotating the screen so he could see it. The Myth of the Super Predator was the title of the article. The gist of this? Back in the 90s, some big-shot researchers predicted that the number of violent crimes committed by African-American teen males would skyrocket in the years to follow. The leading authority on the matter dubbed these potential criminals super predators. Justice already knew about the super predator myth. He'd stumbled upon the whole thing while trying to deal with his own profiling trauma, but he let SJ keep going because When would he get to see her all absorbed in debate research and talking a million miles per minute again? He'd miss this.
Fortunately, the prediction was incorrect, she went on. Crime rates among youth plummeted.
He smiled. Okay.
Unfortunately, it seems the fear of young black guys created by this research is alive and well.
She ran a fingertip over his wrist. And time to get up. He went back to pacing. So where would we go with this, S?
Well, I'm thinking we could do an argument on racial profiling.
Just stopped. You're not serious.
I am.
So you've lost it, is what you're really telling me.
Oh, come on. What do we have to lose?
The tournament?
Screw the tournament.
She shut her laptop and came over to where he was.
This is something people need to hear about, Jess. It's an argumentation goldmine.
It wasn't that he didn't believe they could form a solid argument. She was right. The numbers spoke for themselves. The real issue? He didn't want to be the black guy accused of playing the race card at a state tournament. He turned to her then. Well, he probably shouldn't have. 'Cause feelings. I don't know about this, S.
I didn't sleep for a week after what happened to you, Jess, she said. I know we might be throwing away our chance at a win, but if we can get some facts out there, maybe make some people think a little bit, it'll be worth it, right?
Jess didn't say a word. She threw an arm over his shoulders. Boob on the biceps.
It's our last hurrah, she said. Let's go out with a bang.
S, I... Come on, Jesse. She pouted. He sighed. There would be no turning her down. Fine, he said. Let's do it. Because of their combined debate record for the season, 8 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie, Justice and SJ are the final pair in their division to present their argument. When the names are called, they step into the glaring stage lights and up to the adjacent podiums. The only people Just can see are the 3 judges. The center judge says, "You may begin," and SJ launches into their introduction. With her final sentence, "We are here to argue that racial disparities in the U.S. criminal justice system are largely due to racial profiling." A murmur trickles through the audience. Jess's stomach clenches, and a bead of sweat runs down his side from his armpit. 2 of the judges are stone-faced, but when he locks eyes with the 3rd, a white lady, she nods at him. His eyes shift among the 3 of them as he and SJ rattle off the statistics that support their argument. Drug use versus drug conviction numbers, arrest numbers in minority-populated versus white-populated police zones. By the time they get to the super predator stuff, all 3 judges are wrapped. That's when Just realizes SJ was right. Whether or not they win this tournament, he needed to talk about this in a public forum. When they're done, Just feels like he's walking in a dream. He and SJ get backstage, and the team sweeps them up in hugs and high fives. Doc, with visibly moist eyeballs, tells Just how proud he is. And a black guy from another team nods at him from across the room. Some random cute girl from another school brings him water with her number scrawled on the cup, and he sees SJ slip it in the garbage when she thinks he's not looking. He has no clue how much time passes between them leaving the stage and hearing the MC return to announce the results, but the next thing he knows, Doc and the team are filing out to return to their seats. None of it feels real. Without thinking too much about it, he drapes an arm around SJ's shoulders. She turns to wrap her arms around his torso, and when she buries her face in his neck, his other arm slips around her waist. They breathe. The MC calls 3rd place. It's not them. SJ inhales, and Just feels her ribs expand. When the MC calls 2nd, and it's not them, Just squeezes tighter. S, I just want to say, hush it. You can tell me later. Bossy. She chuckles. It makes him feel better than he's felt in a long time.
And your state champions in the Advanced Pairs Argumentation Division from Brazelton Preparatory Academy,
Justice McAllister and Sarah Jane Friedman.
They don't let go. January 13. Martin, I think I'm losing it. I've avoided writing to you about this because it really doesn't have any bearing on the Be Like Martin experiment. Then again, I guess it could be considered a failed attempt at romantic integration or something. Anyway, after the dream I just had, which I definitely won't put in here because it's not appropriate, I gotta get some stuff off my chest. So, SJ and I won our division in the state debate tournament. When we returned backstage after receiving our medals, everything felt different. I couldn't stop thinking about the way we were hugging just before they announced all the winners, so when she turned to face me looking all beautiful, I knew that was it. No more resisting. We're standing there grinning at each other, so I looked at her lips and leaned in for the kill. And she turned away. Just straight up, rotated 180 degrees and started walking in the opposite direction. You see Doc anywhere? She said over her shoulder. That girl knew I was about to kiss her, Martin. She avoided me for the rest of the night and then wouldn't talk to me on the ride back to school in her car Sunday morning. Just cranked up the music like I wasn't even there. Then, when we got to the dorms and I reached for the car door handle, she goes, "So congrats again on winning the tournament." Like she didn't just win it with me. Working with you has been a real pleasure, and I know you'll do great at Yale. See you around, Justice. It took me a minute to get the hint and exit because I was trying to figure out the identity of this alien cyborg and what the hell it did with my debate partner slash good friend slash girl I really wanted to kiss named SJ. As soon as I grabbed my stuff and shut the door, she drove off, just like that. I was ready to go against my mama for this girl, Martin. I don't know what happened. I thought things were going well. I swear, since Manny called me out for not being like you, SJ and I have been tighter than ever. The chemistry was off the charts. I know I didn't read the signals wrong. Did I? I have no idea what to do now. I can't eat, can barely sleep, can't stay focused. Everywhere I turn, there's a reminder of this girl. Can't pass a brunette without doing a double take. Manny's been on this Carrie Underwood kick, which is what SJ liked to play in the background when we were working on debate stuff at her house. I even went to sleep at home last night, thinking being around my mama would help. But when I got there, she was watching Judge Judy. SJ swears she and Judge Judy are related. I guess I should let it go, right? I can't force her to talk to me if she doesn't want to. It makes me feel whack as hell, but in my mind, I keep seeing the shrinking taillights of her car as she drove away. Whatever. I give up. I'm gonna try to sleep again now. Jay. Chapter 10. But Justice doesn't sleep. Not that night, nor the rest of the week. And it's not just SJ. A couple of mornings after she gives him the cold shoulder, he and the rest of the nation learn that Tavarius Jenkins, a 16-year-old black kid shot by police while trying to help an older white woman in a Lexus, has died from his injuries. On Friday after school, Just walks into Doc's classroom wanting to talk about it and finds he's been beat to the punch. SJ's in there crying her eyes out. As much as he wants to turn on his heel and jet, he can't seem to move. Seeing her there, even as a friend, broken the way she is, makes Justice feel as helpless as he did the night he got arrested. Based on the way she's scowling at him, Just can't help but wonder if he's partially to blame for her tears. But how could he be? Didn't she turn her back on him? After they stared each other down for forever, it feels, she wipes her face, grabs her stuff, and heads to the door. When Doc calls after her and she doesn't respond before breezing out, he turns to Justice. What's that all about? Oh, you don't know? Justice says, ready to turn and leave himself. He drops down into a desk instead. Doc crosses his arms and furrows his eyebrows. Can't say I do, Jess. That's too bad, then, Justice says, looking Doc right in the eye. I was hoping you could tell me. Needless to say, Jess doesn't feel like talking anymore. As soon as he thinks enough time has passed for SJ to get off campus, he says goodbye to a stupefied Doc and heads to his dorm room.
He's just managed to doze off when there's a knock at his door, snatching him back into consciousness.
Who is it? Open the door, fool.
Manny. Just forces himself out of bed and to the door.
What, dog?
He says as he opens it.
Hey, bruh, chill with all that attitude.
Manny pushes past him and into the room, bringing his post-basketball practice B.O. with him.
You sleeping or something?
Obviously not, if I'm standing here talking to your stank ass. You need a shower.
Shut up.
It's Friday night and we got places to be. Put some clothes on and let's go. Juss returns to the bed.
Sorry, dog. I don't really feel like going nowhere tonight.
That wasn't a request, Juss. Don't think I haven't noticed how mopey you've been this week. Being alone in your current state isn't good for your mental health, man. Blake's birthday party is tonight, and you're coming with me.
No, I'm not.
All right, then. Manny pulls Juss's desk chair over to the bed and sits down.
You want to stay in bed? Cool. My dirty ass will be right here with you.
Oh, come on, Manny. Get out of here with that.
Juss pulls a pillow over his nose. Manny kicks his shoes off and tucks his hands behind his head, unleashing the full force of his funk into the room.
He smirks. Juss really can't stand this guy sometimes. He takes a deep breath,
which is a bad idea.
Damn, you stink, dog.
Fine, I'll go.
Great. Manny hops up. I'm gonna go get my car from the lot. I'll meet you downstairs in 10.
Yeah, all right.
You won't regret it, man. Manny walks out and leaves the door open. Justice really isn't in the best headspace to be accepting the pre-game beverage that gets shoved into his hand once they get to Manny's basement. He never say it out loud, but Just would much rather be at SJ's watching National Geographic than here waiting for Manny to get ready. Just thinking about her is making him crazy. Before he knows it, his cup is empty and he's reaching for the flask Manny left on the ottoman.
Dog, you crying?
Manny says when he finally emerges from his room, smelling like he bathed in Armani Code.
Nah, bro, I'm good.
Just wipes his face on his sleeve.
Got something in my eye.
Manny sits down.
All this about SJ?
Huh? I heard what happened at the tournament.
He can't be serious.
What'd you hear?
That you tried to kiss her and she cold-shouldered your ass?
Juss shakes his head.
How could you possibly have heard that?
Small school. Manny shrugs.
People talk.
Juss doesn't reply.
You were in love with her, huh? Heart's all broken and shit.
Whoa now, dog, slow down with all that.
Juss, you're sitting here crying about... I'm not crying, Manny.
Whatever, fool. Manny slouches down and stares up at the ceiling.
That's gotta be love.
For a minute, they sit in silence. Manny doing whatever he's doing and just trying to keep images of SJ out of his head. He switches gears to the other thing on his mind.
You hear about Tavarius Jenkins?
The kid who got shot in Florida, right?
Yeah. He died yesterday.
Damn. That's sad.
I keep thinking that could have been me.
What if that cop thought I had a gun?
You didn't know.
Neither did Tavarius, Juss says, feeling the anger build.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Guy's walking down the street with his boys and stopped to help a lady who ran out of gas on the wrong side of town. Cops get there and tell him to put his hands up because they think he's robbing her, and when he does, they open fire because they think his cell phone is a gun. Shit's fucked up, man.
Juss grabs the flask again and takes a swig.
Niggas getting shot for carrying candy and cell phones and shit.
Can you imagine what would have happened to me if I'd had my cell phone out that night?
I could be dead, dog.
And for what? He swigs again, just to feel the burn.
Aight, that's enough.
Manny takes the flask back and pats Juss's knee.
Let's hit B's party.
You obviously need the distraction.
Part of Justice wants to shake Manny. That's why he cares more about some stupid white boy party than he does about the unjust death of a guy who looks like him.
Too bad he doesn't have it left in him.
Yeah, all right, he says. Let's go. Perhaps if Justice hadn't downed half the liquid in Manny's refilled flask on the way to Blake's house, the wooden lawn jockeys with black skin and big red lips standing guard at the bottom of Blake's porch steps wouldn't bother him so much. There's a good chance that if he'd slowed down when Manny told him to, he wouldn't feel fury when he sees that the wall behind the bar in Blake's basement is lined with posters from William H. West's Big Menstrual Jubilee. But Justice didn't slow down. He kept drinking until Manny literally took the flask from his hand and slipped it into the driver's side door where Just couldn't reach it. So when the birthday boy comes running up to Manny and Justice, Just is ready to blow. Manny.
Happy birthday, man.
Just.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Blake.
Bros! So glad y'all made it.
Manny smiles and winks at Justice like,
told you.
Yo, listen.
Blake goes on. He's definitely been drinking, too.
There's this fine-ass black girl here from Decatur Prep, and I was thinking you guys could wingman it up for me and shit. Homegirl's got the fattest ass I've ever seen, and I think if she meets my niggas, I'll have a good chance of getting her upstairs. You feel me, dogs?
He nudges Just and grins. Manny's smile collapses. He looks over at Justice, almost like he knows everything's about to go to hell.
Is this fool serious right now?
Just says. Blake looks confused.
Just chill, Manny says. Hell no, I'm not about to chill. Your boy's got racist long gnomes and white people in blackface hanging on the walls. Now he pulls this shit, and you want me to chill?
Blake rolls his eyes.
Dude, none of that crap is mine. My mom's great uncle was one of those performers, so she hung up some posters. No big deal. You coming over here asking us to help you use a black girl is a big deal, Blake. That's not to mention you tossing the N-word around like you own it.
Blake.
You don't own it any more than I do, bro.
Nobody owns words. I think you'd know that as someone smart enough to get into Yale.
Manny. All right, y'all. Let's calm down before this gets out of hand.
Justice, it's already out of hand, Manny. Your boy Blake is a racist.
Blake, what is it with you people in the goddamn race guard, huh?
Justice, we people?
You realize Manny is one of us people too, right?
Blake,
except Manny's got some sense and doesn't make everything about race. Why don't you loosen the hell up?
Justice,
too bad you weren't around to say that to the cop who cuffed me for trying to help my girl.
Ex-girl, you mean? Didn't she dump your ass?
At this point, Jared and Tyler walk up, both with a red cup in one hand and a beer in the other.
Homies, Jared says.
It just makes Justice matter.
Just. Man, I'm sick of y'all acting like y'all got all this leeway.
Jared.
Wow, dude, what crawled up your ass?
Tyler. Laughs. Just.
Fuck you, Jared.
Jared.
Whoa now.
Blake.
Dude, don't disrespect my bros at my party.
Manny. Just, let's just go.
Just points at Blake. Watch your back, dog.
Blake.
Wait, are you threatening me?
Jared. Laughs.
Better watch out, B. You know Justice grew up in the hood. He's gonna call up his gangster homies to ride through on your ass and bust some
By the time Just is seeing colors other than red, his left hand and right jaw are throbbing, and there's something warm running down his chin. Jared's scrambling up on the floor with a split lip and a swelling eye, and Blake is on his hands and knees with blood pouring out of his nose and onto the carpet. No pointed hood to stop the flow this time. There's a set of arms around Just, pinning his arms to his sides.
Let me go,
he says, twisting out of the grip of whoever's holding him. Manny, whose lip is bleeding too. Tyler seems to be the only one who got away unscathed. But then Justice sees him shake out his right hand. Of course a crowd is gathered.
Manny. What the hell is your problem, Justice?
Just.
Man, don't even say nothing to me right now.
Manny draws back.
Excuse me? Don't say nothing to you?
Just. You're just as bad as they are.
What are you talking about? I don't know where all this me against the world shit is coming from, but you really need to check yourself.
These dudes disrespect you, disrespect us, all the time, and you never say anything about it. You just go along with whatever they say.
These are my friends, Just.
You're way too sensitive, man. Let me guess. That's what they said when you took offense at some racist joke, right?
Bruh, you tripping hard. You need to go cool off or something.
Justice shakes his head, looks Manny over from head to toe.
You know what, Manny? You're a sellout.
Good luck.